Today on Real Radio.
I will plant them in their land, says God, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Either the Muslim Brotherhood's correct or God is correct. Somebody's wrong.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack delivers a special presentation today, and I've got a thought-provoking question for you. When you see the events going on that are unfolding in the Middle East right now, are they just a long list of international news items? Should you and I just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, well, come on, why can't they all just get along? Or are there principalities at work here that you and I just don't see? You know, it really is true that if we don't know Scripture, then we'll never really understand what's going on with Israel and everyone that seems to be against them. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What's Really Happening in the Middle East.
Next slide. This is, you can read the Muslim Brotherhood. You'll have to go online to read it carefully. But let me read you, see the swords in the Quran at the top? Down, the motto is, I'll try to read it. Allah is our objective. The Prophet, I can't read that. It's just, anyway, you'll have to read it. It's basically says, Allah is our God, the Quran is our instructor, jihad is our way, and death is our aim. You have to be a member of this. So why does our current administration have at least two high-ranking members of this? You can look them up online, you can read all about them. Why? What's going on? Day of shame in the Middle East. Female protesters beaten with metal poles as vicious soldiers drag girls through streets. This is, according to Hillary Clinton, this is democracy. This is freedom of speech. Psalm 83, 2 says, for behold, your enemies will make a tumult. And those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. I want to read this to you. August 19th, this last weekend, New York Times, from David Kilpatrick, quote, the popular uprisings that have swept the region of the Middle East since Mr. Obama's speech in Cairo have fueled an authoritarian order that was largely congenial to the United States. While they may have brought Muslim nations closer than ever to the fulfillment of self-determination or Sharia, they have also, number one, imperiled crucial American allies, two, empowered antagonistic Islamicists, and three, unleashed sectarian animosities that threaten to drag the entire region into chaos, says Kilpatrick. The Cairo speech was an announcement to pursue your definition, not America's definition or the West's definition. You pursue your own definition in the name of democracy. And our media jumped on it instantly, and they were wrong. Number four, I don't even know if we're on number four or not. Are we on number four? Three. Why aren't the most powerful nations involved? Why don't they get involved in this? What's going on? Have you noticed that? I just want you don't, listen, we don't have to answer the question right now. You write that question down and you go watch all the global media sources. Your computer now gives you access to every news broadcast in the world. So the question is, why aren't the most powerful nations involved in this? I'll just give you a very, very quick rundown to stimulate. Number one, globally, the most powerful nations are cutting their military spending because of the economy. Number two, currencies are collapsing in the world's most powerful nations. We'll see a slide of this later, but the United States is saying, as you'll see in a moment, Israel, we cannot help you should something happen in the Middle East, which is an interesting thing. We're telling Israel that we can't help them, but we have quite a presence there right now. The question is why? We're saying we can't help you, but we've got a lot of guys there right now. A lot of people are asking the question, why? Why aren't nations getting involved? Russia is involved, but they don't want to be involved. They have a presence there for their own survival, but Russia, make no mistake about it, Russia despises Islam. Vladimir Putin's very clear on Islam and its agenda. And yet, it's a coalition, or it will be a coalition leader. Yes, but God has to put a hook in its jaw to pull it in. Interesting word, huh? We'll see in a moment that Persia no longer views the United States as a threat. Ladies and gentlemen, I know guys understand what I'm about to say. Girls don't get it, and that's okay. You're sweet, and that's wonderful. But whenever a nation doesn't view another nation as a threat, most often that nation goes and tries to beat up that nation that's not viewed as a threat anymore. See, I don't like the way that... Look, nobody likes the way that that works, but that's the truth. Nobody walks up to a 6'5", 250-pound fullback and takes a swing at him, unless you want to commit suicide. You understand what I'm saying? The American motto is peace through strength. If you're strong, nobody will mess with you. Every boy in the room understands this. Iran now is saying, we don't care about America. I'm just simply asking you this question. Why don't they care? What has happened that they no longer care? Why do they perceive us as being weak? Something is telling the Persian government and the Persian leadership, America will not respond. If you, those of you who are young enough to, old enough to remember, I do. Was it 1979? Jimmy Carter did nothing for 444 days. Do you remember when we were taken captive by the Iranians, Persians? And do you remember what then candidate Ronald Reagan said? If I'm elected president, they have less than 24 hours to release our prisoners, or else we will literally destroy them in an hour. You might say, okay, are we allowed to talk like that? Guess what happened? Before Ronald Reagan was sworn in, the Iranians released all of our prisoners. Why? Because that's how they understand stuff. That's the way they think. And besides, Reagan, he may have been an actor, but he was no actor. Ask Muammar, well, I mean, he's dead now, but anyway. Okay, number four. Why should we as Christians care? Why should we care about this stuff? This is the part that really upsets me as a pastor and as a Christian. A lot of Christians don't care. In fact, maybe some of you are even tweeting your friends saying, you don't have to come to second service. It's pretty boring. It's just about the end of the world. Why should Christians care? I live in America. Come on, shut up. I'm going to go to Disneyland after service. Leave me alone. Right? No, listen. We should care. We should care because you know what? Jesus said not one word of this will pass without being fulfilled. Not one word. Gives me great hope and great strength and great peace that my God knows everything. He knows everything. He knows everything from the little, tiny, little, tiniest part of you, the little micro structure of you to the ends of the universe, God knows. He's not rattled by these things. We just need to really, listen, Christian, I'm just talking about the Christian thing. We really need to pick a side and get with it. We really need to say, you know what? God sent me enough warnings. My 401k is dead. Okay, our savings is gone. Insurance is going broke. Just go down the list. That's why the world's going nuts. That's why in France, have you seen people committing suicide? Did you see that? Jumping off of bridges with ropes? that just the people that they've figured out, they're all unemployed. They're losing hope. Jesus said in the last days, people who don't know God, their hearts will fail them for fear. People's hearts are beginning to fail them for fear. Listen, if your heart is fearful right now, you need to know the Lord. You need to trust the Lord. He wrote this down in advance so you wouldn't have to panic. You say, what are we supposed to do? Listen, live for the Lord. Go to work tomorrow. See, man, I got this message, honey. I heard what Pastor Jack said. I'm not going to work tomorrow. No, go to work. Occupy till the Lord returns. Okay? But listen, here's what I'm saying. Stop being so polite about your Christianity. Speak up. Tell people. Tell them God loves them. Tell them God cares for them. Tell them God knows what's about to happen. I tell you what, you want to get famous in your office? Tell people, hey, there's going to be some pretty radical stuff happening in the Middle East pretty soon. I'm in cubicle 493, right down here. Watch what happens. They're all going to run down to your office on that morning when CNN airs it, okay? Give them the hope. Number five is, why aren't Christians getting this? I'm going to give you six things why Christians are not getting this. We've been conditioned. Now, this is going to generate some mail. We've been conditioned by false pastors, false teachers, false prophets to not get this. Why? Well, number one, remember the word faith movement? Just claim it. Speak it. I feel sick. Don't say that. I can't make my payments. Don't say that. Just speak prosperity. Speak health. Speak it. Listen. That only works when there's a camera in front of the person. And there's a place to send the money. I went through that last week. I don't need to do that again. It disillusioned people. When a false shepherd gets in front of a microphone or in front of a crowd, they say stuff that's off. Satan doesn't care. And when it doesn't happen, it leaves people broken. Number two, the death of mainstream denominations. Mainstream denominations have given up on the Bible, and so they've been dying. And people say, oh, isn't it sad? The mainstream denominations are shrinking in size. I don't think it's sad. Let them die. They're teaching false doctrine. They're teaching, for example, things that are not biblical, but are psychological. They're throwing out the Bible, and they're embracing, I don't know, Oprah Winfrey's 10 steps to whatever, or Dr. Phil's, you know, how to sterilize your, I don't know what, but they're getting, bingo, Sunday morning. Are you kidding me? Jesus died on the cross for us to play bingo on Sunday morning? Unbelievable. No wonder why people are saying, forget God. Why aren't Christians getting this? Number three is this, the failure of the emergent church movement. The emergent church movement. Let's blend together. Let's just get everybody in. Doesn't matter what they believe. This guy can draw a crowd. Get him in. People don't have to bring Bibles to church. That only makes them feel funny. We'll only teach certain things. We'll pick and choose from the Bible what doctrines we will teach. As long as we're hip, people will come. And by the way, there's prophets of that movement. Find out what their views are on the nation Israel. And find out and notice how they never talk about the sanctity of marriage and they never talk about the sanctity of life. Those three keys that you can know, what's their view on Israel, what's their view on marriage, and what's their view on the innocents. And then you can determine the rest of their worldview. Number four, the relevant movement. Let's look just like the world. You can come to our services and you won't even know that you're in church. I saw an advertisement, it said, come on Sunday morning. Come on Sunday morning, it's like not being in church. That's what the sign said. Do you understand that when you talk and think like that, and when your motive and mission is that, you're slapping Jesus in the face who loves the church? And the relevant movement is quickly becoming irrelevant. because they don't stand for anything. Number five, I already mentioned it, the prosperity movement and the global economy is now broke. The prosperity dudes are selling their mansions and their private jets because they can't make payments on them anymore. What happened to their God-given super-duper doctrine? By the way, there's two of those jets down at John Wayne Airport. You can buy them right now. And then I'm concerned about this one. This is the current thing right now. There's the big, big push right now to be the church planting movement. But what are they planting? Are they planting ministries that are salt and light? Or, and this is the reality, and one of their key leaders have said so recently, the church planting movement is doing nothing but taking people from other churches. Just transfer, not conversion. Very dangerous time we live in. I want you to write these words down, become familiar with them. Chrislam. You heard of it? If you have young people on Christian campuses, if you have young people, listen, if you have young people in missionary ventures around the world, you better look into the organization that they're with. Chrislam. Chrislam is being endorsed by Bill Hybels and his wife, Rick Warren and his wife. There are others that are promoting Chrislam, that Christianity and Islam can coexist. Ladies and gentlemen, you are mixing Yahweh, the God of the Bible, and Uber is his name, but in Arabic, the title God is Allah with the Quran. You're trying to mix them. One has a cross, one doesn't. One has a Messiah, one doesn't. One has your sins forgiven, one doesn't. One has eternal life in righteousness and peace with God forever in light, the other doesn't. One, the heaven is for everyone who believes, the other one is for men only. It's not the same God. Jesus is not a great prophet. He's God come to earth in human flesh who died on the cross for our sins. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Become familiar with Christian Palestinianism, a massive movement in the organized church in the world today. Israel has no right to the land. The Jews do not really exist. They need to get out because it's Palestinian land. The problem is there was no such thing as Palestine until Hadrian in 135 AD, the Roman Empire said, I hate Jews. I hate Jews and we're going to eradicate them. We're going to take Jerusalem and rename it Aila Capitolina, and we're going to take Israel and rename it Palestine for after it's Israel's ancient enemies, the Philistines. There was no such thing until 135 AD, the name term Palestine. Christian Palestinianism is a violation of God's word, the Bible. And then you guys all know this, watch out for the World Council of Churches, pro-Islamic, anti-Israel, anti-Bible. Number six, we'll have to end here because I'm way out of time. What's really happened in the Middle East? Number six, what are we as Christians to be doing? What are we as Christians to be doing? I'm going to give you five things very quickly. Number one, be informed about what's going on. Church, you got to get your eyes up off the novels or up off the other stuff, and you got to start looking at your Bible and what's happening in the world. Number two, be devoted to God like never before. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up for your redemption draws near. That's a very, very amazing promise. Number three, be serious about our Christianity. This is not a sport. This is not a game. This is not something to flirt with. You say, yeah, but Pastor, you said in the beginning, Christian persecution is rising, and it's going to rise. It's going to get worse. Are you willing to die being a Christian? You have to figure that out. This week, Tony Perkins was ready to die for being a Christian. I had a chance to talk to Tony 1 hour after the shooting. He was the intended target. God intervened. and a lot of lives were spared. It wasn't domestic terrorism. It wasn't domestic violence or workplace violence. It was an act of persecution. This is America. 4, be ready to answer others as to why you are a Christian. You must be able to answer others why you're a Christian. 5, be prepared to suffer for knowing Jesus. Family and friends are going to make fun of us. I want to end with this. We're to be on God's side. Don't ask God to be on your side. Be on God's side. Amos 9, verse 14 says, I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. Israel today supplies Europe with fruit. I will plant them in their land, says God, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Either the Muslim Brotherhood's correct or God is correct. Somebody's wrong. This is serious stuff. I'm going to give you this slide, and we'll end right here. In fact, you can stand. That's how much we're really going to end. Go ahead and stand. Now I'm committed. Go ahead and put this screen up, you guys, the charts of the nations. You guys have seen this before. Civilizations, nations, empires that have waged war against Israel or fought to exterminate the Jewish people throughout history, throughout human history. Okay, you ready for this? Egyptian Empire. It's gone now. Philistines, gone. Assyrian Empire, no more. Babylonians, gone. Persian Empire, gone. Grecian Empire, gone. Roman Empire, gone. Byzantine Empire, gone. The Ottoman Empire, gone. The Spanish Empire, gone. The Nazis' Third Reich, gone. The Soviet Empire, gone. The Islamic Republic of Iran, any day now. Any day now. Pray for the brothers and sisters who live in Iran. I don't revel in this, but God presides over nations. And they have announced and they have shaken their fist and they said, we will destroy Israel. And the Ayatollah 6 weeks ago said to his clerics, soon. He said, by the end of October, he said, soon Israel will be no more. True or false, we don't know about his timing. But you never poke God in the eye when it comes to the establishment of his promises.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What's Really Happening in the Middle East. It's a biblical look at the events that continue to unfold in that region of the world. What's Really Happening in the Middle East? That's the title Pastor Jack has given to this lesson today. On Monday's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack delivers a message that is, let's say, timely in more ways than one. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, don't forget to get on board with a whole bunch of other Real Radio listeners who are taking part in the one-year Bible. Now, our offer does still stand. For your tax-deductible gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you a copy of the one-year Bible. Now, the one-year Bible is designed in such a way that you can read through the entire Bible in 1 year in as little as 15 minutes a day. It's real convenient and real easy. So whether you call, click, or write, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio and ask for our Book of the Month by name, the one-year Bible. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the banner that says the one-year Bible, that's realradioactive.org. If you'd like to call us, our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.